Just a heads up, the Razzball podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised. Hi, it's Nick. Okay, full disclosure, I'm woefully unprepared for this podcast today. I think there was football yesterday, so I'll make some assumptions. I'm pretty sure Alfred Morris had a big day against Chicago. Andy Dalton was probably unstartable against Detroit. And CJ Spiller must have finally gone off, right? Luckily, we have our experts here to make sure you're getting the goods. And why am I unprepared? None of your business! Okay, I was actually meeting with major radio execs pitching how to turn this podcast into a daily show. Okay, that's nowhere near the truth, but it sounds better than saying I had too many adult beverages before noon on a Sunday. JB's got the NFC notes, Jay Wrong's covering the AFC, Murph's got the injury report, and apparently Sky didn't call in his waiver wire segment. Apparently his wife kicked him out after he got charged with stalking the girl who does his intro. Weirdo. From the DraftKings.com studio, it's the Razzball Podcast for Week 7. Here we go.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's the Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour bus. Make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.
NFC Notes.
JB, welcome to the Razzball Football Podcast at JB Gilpin on Twitter. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm good. You know, perfection, it's a tricky thing. It's a tricky business. I'm feeling like the Chiefs today, not feeling like Peyton Manning. It's a good feeling.
Okay. Really? You're going to, like I said in the intro, I'm a little bit behind yesterday. I was working on some side projects. And then normally I come in to the studio, meet with Kyle, the super producer, before we kick off and do the podcast. But today I walk in and Kyle was so busy on a Monday morning starting his week working on introductions for little kids hockey teams. So basically, he's got one of the announcers from ESPN who's doing this year's Aurora Tigers Adam Double B team. Here's, and he did like a player introduction. And I'm like, A, that is a waste of great MC talent. B, next time you tell me you're busy, Kyle, and we can't get the podcast up by Monday afternoon, I'm just going to say to you, Aurora Tigers! So, letting you in on how the show gets put together here, JB.
It's a puzzle. It's a tough work, but we try to make it fit as best we can, usually with syrup and adult beverages.
Kyle, you should throw in that Aurora Tigers sounder at some point in this podcast today. You got free reign to do that, okay? So, JB, let's talk a little bit of football. I wasn't able to watch a ton yesterday, so I'm going to rely on you. Why don't you kick us off with the Razzball Writers Leagues real quick? You're 7-0. I don't want to talk about it because I think I'm going to go to 0-7. But you're kicking butt in the Razzball Writers League this year.
No, dude, you're going to win. What are you talking about?
Okay, let's just...
You're up 32 points as long as Kyle Rudolph does a little something and Eli Manning doesn't go off. You're good.
Okay, listen, I'll be 1-6, so still, again, woefully unprepared. It's been a funny year for me because usually I do really well in fantasy football, but this year I have not done as well, so... I don't know what to tell you.
It's disappointing. I'm doing pretty good. I'm above 500 in 4 of 6 leagues, so I'll take that.
All right, and who was the top scorer in RCL this week?
Oh, RCL released the Kraken and take on J-Rom 2. 195 points, Forte, Vincent Jackson, Jaquiz, and he started Jordan Reed in a big game, who we'll talk about later in the show. But good job, release the Kraken, top scorer through Sunday.
All right, good stuff. Real quick from the Thursday game, a couple of takeaways. You're not happy that Andre Ellington isn't touching the ball as much as he could be.
I'm not, and that's because, I mean, 100% Larry Fitzgerald is the best playmaker on that team. I don't think that's really the question. But number two has got to be Andre Ellington, and I believe he only had 4 touches in this game. I just can't believe they're not using him. I think that changes as the season progresses. They want to see what they have there. I know they don't think he's an every down back, but if you can buy low in a really, really deep league and someone to kind of stash, I still think he's a good player.
Yeah, I got him on a bunch of rosters. And for the Seahawks, one of the reasons I've had a bit of a bumpy ride this year is everyone was down on Russell Wilson. I thought he would continue where he left off from last year. It's been a bit up and down in terms of fantasy production. Obviously, the Seahawks have been fantastic. Are you comfortable starting Russell Wilson the rest of the season?
Not really comfortable, but I think if you have him, you're probably starting him. I know there are a lot of people saying he's probably a bench, going to the red zone, going to Arizona. And I thought to myself, you know, this is exactly the kind of game where he'll get a couple touchdowns, actually ended up getting 3. So I started him in the 2 leagues. I have him. I'm happy. I'm not going to expect the world. I may try to make a trade and upgrade if I can, but I'm not starting some scrub like Terrell Pryor or someone like that, someone you picked up to go with Wilson.
Okay. Now, again, Sky is not here, so we'll obviously talk about some waiver wire pickups this week. By the way, this guy really did not get kicked out by his wife, at least not for reasons that we know about. So just full disclosure. In the Lions game,
I told you those overnight sleepovers with Sky were not going to fly with Mrs. Sky.
Okay, that sounded weird from a lot of different angles, so I'm going to leave that be. In the Lions game, Calvin Johnson looked healthy, thank goodness, which was great. A lot of Calvin Johnson owners were happy for his game yesterday. But talking about waiver wire pickups, you were big last week on Joseph Fourier. You're comparing him to Jordan Cameron. Do tell, Mr. Biscuit.
Well, I wasn't big on him last week. I was just stating that he had a big game, and I wasn't really excited for him right now. But if you're in, like, a hardcore dynasty league or something like that where, you know, you carry over 25 or just, you know, just one of those guys to keep an eye on because Brandon Pettigrew is a free agent, and I think Fourier could be the starting tight end there next year. Obviously, Stafford's a decent quarterback, even though I'm not his biggest fan, and Calvin Johnson will get defenses off him. So I think Fourier is an interesting guy to look at next year.
Okay, in the Falcons game, showed a little bit of life. Harry Douglas, a lot of people were naysaying Harry Douglas, but just because of Julio and Roddy out, he had to have some value. And then also, talk to me about Jaquizz Rogers' big game. Huge game, actually.
Yeah, both of them big games. I think Harry Douglas put on Roddy's left shoe and Julio's right shoe, and really took off. I've always thought he's a pretty good receiver, but never really a wide receiver one for an NFL team. I think he kind of benefited from going against a really bad Bucs team. So I'm still not huge on him. They're playing the Cardinals next week. Borderline wide receiver 3 next week still. Jaquizz, you know, looked good, but they can't run the ball to save their life. He got all his touchdowns on receiving, all his points on receiving, so they really need a healthy Steven Jackson.
Okay, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Vincent Jackson, nice game. Mike Glennon, you feel, is starting to look like an NFL quarterback. But the real question there is Doug Martin with the shoulder injury. What do you think of it, and are you picking up Mike James?
I'm highly doubtful that he's going to play because they are playing my Panthers on Thursday, so it's a quick turnaround. He said it wasn't separated, but was seen in a sling, so that's never a good thing. So, you know, Mike James is the guy to pick up if you really, really need to, but I don't think he's worth dropping anyone that good for because, you know, even with Martin out on Thursday, you're probably not going to play him against the Panthers. And B, I don't think Martin misses more than a week, maybe 2. So I don't think you're going to get much out of Mike James if you pick him up.
Okay, interesting. You know what else is interesting?
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
You can follow them at DraftKings.com or just at DraftKings on Twitter. And of course, if you ever have daily fantasy questions, we have the guru who's still with us, Big Biscuit, at JP Gilpin.
JB Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N. JB, how did you do yesterday other than waxing the floor with me in our little last-minute DraftKings contest off?
Oh, good. Well, how many points do you have on your roster or about if you don't have it in front of you?
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, I'm in. We did a contest together. We tweeted it out with 1,725 teams. I'm in 294th, so I'm in the money right now, and I still have Brandon Jacobs going tonight. And what's great about DraftKings is even if he's a surprise inactive, I can still edit my lineup, put in, I don't know, I guess Peyton Hillis, which is still bad. But the fact that he'll give me some points, I think either him or Michael Cox, I think I'll still finish in the money with someone left.
So, and let me go into that in more detail. And it's interesting because we talked about that a lot in baseball this year when we were playing the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest during the Razzball baseball season. But DraftKings is the only daily fantasy sports game. Well, it's the only daily fantasy sports game, period. But it's the only one where you can substitute guys before their game starts. So this was really handy in the baseball season if you had some West Coast games going. And let's say you had, I don't know, Mike Trout in there, but they gave him a day off, which never happened. But if they did, you could then pick up whoever would replace him in the starting lineup so you weren't stuck. And again, you can only do that daily fantasy at DraftKings.com. So because now you're likely in the money in the contest this week, if for some reason Brandon Jacobs didn't go, you can, even in the Monday night game, sub in and put his backup in, as long as the backup costs less, but usually again in this salary cap game, that would be the situation, correct?
It is, and since Peyton Hillis and Michael Cox are both terrible, they'll both be much less than Jacobs was. And I know this is football, but funny you said Trout getting pinched. They pinched him in the Angels, the home finale. They pinched him in that game, so anything can happen.
Sorry, say what?
They benched Mike Trout in the Angels home finale in baseball.
Okay. I misunderstood. I thought you said they pitched him. I'm like, wait a minute. There's no way that they're throwing Mike Trout out there.
Trout was throwing 100. It was all over the place. He's a machine.
The Razzball Podcast.
All right, let's go through the NFC East here. We are not going to focus on the Eagles other than to say you have one big note here. Tell Kyle that the Eagles suck. Okay. Just one quick question, though. Are you worried about DeSean Jackson after his lower leg got rolled?
I am. He came out of the game for, I'm not quite sure how long. It seemed like about a quarter. Didn't look good. Foles obviously looked terrible. He got hurt. And Matt Barkley, I don't know what the record is for most interceptions thrown in their first, 20 pass attempts. But Barkley having three is pretty close. So if Vic's not able to go next week, tough to like Deshaun next week, even against a really bad Giants defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Quickly, for the Cowboys, Joseph Randle was decent. Another TD for Terrence Williams. No catches for Miles Austin. What's happening to Miles Austin?
I don't know. Hamstrung? That's too stupid a joke or pun, but it's so right, it's true. So he's probably droppable in this league.
All right, Redskins, big shootout. Who did you like in that game? What happened with Roy Helu?
That's a game I didn't see too much film of. I know Alfred Morris was, he was still getting work. He still got more carries. It was just, Helu was finishing it off. But the big story, and one thing I was wrong with was Sunday morning comments all morning, was I was not buying the Jordan Reed hype. And, man, what a game. 9 catches on 9 targets, 134 yards and a touchdown. Just one of those uber kind of Swiss Army knife tight ends. Everyone compares them to Aaron Hernandez, which is kind of weird since Reed is also out of Florida. So that's not the best comparison. But Reed looked good. I think Morris will be fine. I think Helu just got the touches at the right time.
All right. One of the big injury questions this weekend was Jay Cutler. So what I'm going to do right now, let's cut to Murph's injury report.
The Carnage Report.
After a messy week 7, we have quite a few injuries to discuss in this week's Carnage Report. The Green Bay Packers are already decimated by injuries before Sunday's game against the Browns, and you can add tight end Michael Finley to the list after he left the game in the fourth quarter following a scary collision. A neck injury is suspected, but details have not been released. Rams quarterback Sam Bradford suffered what appeared to be a brutal knee injury in the fourth quarter against the Carolina Panthers, and he was carted off the field. A later report has suggested that Bradford will miss the remainder of the season, and rumors of signing Tim Tebow are in the air, but the most likely scenario would be Kellen Clemens to get the start next week. Eagles quarterback Nick Foles struggled versus the Dallas Cowboys before leaving the game in the second half with a head injury. NFL concussion protocols are strict, and if Vic and Foles are ruled out, we could be seeing rookie Matt Barkley as the Eagles quarterback short term. Eagles wide receiver DeSean Jackson left the game this weekend against the Cowboys with an ankle injury, but returned shortly after. This injury is worth monitoring, though, because if Jackson is limited headed into Week 8, then his production could be limited as well. Colts wide receiver Reggie Wayne left the game Sunday night against the Broncos with a non-contact knee injury that could potentially keep him out for an extended time. Wide receivers T.Y. Hilton and Darius Heyward-Bey would need to step up in his absence. Running back Doug Martin has been frustrating for fantasy owners, and to make things worse, he left Sunday's game against the Falcons after taking a big hit on the shoulder. I'd be shocked if he played Sunday in this backfield, and offense is a complete mess without him. Texans running back Arian Foster was bothered by a hamstring injury this weekend, enough to keep him out of the entire game against the Chiefs. His status is unknown for Week 8, but as we know, these hamstring injuries can linger. Keep a hold of Ben Tate if you have him rostered. Players to watch this week in practice include DeMarco Murray, Steven Jackson, Michael Vick, Danny Amendola, and potentially Percy Harvin, as rumors are he is nearing a full recovery. It was a relief to finally see Rob Gronkowski out there this week, and as expected, was Tom Brady's favorite target. With the massive amount of injuries recently in the NFL, it's hard to believe any player is safe in your roster. So stay informed. Always look to improve. This is Murph with your Week 7 Carnage Report.
The Razzball Podcast.
JB, your Carolina Panthers, what did you think?
Woo!
I picture you like waving a cowboy hat as you do that, you know, smacking a horse on its ass.
Oh, I'm all over the... I'm like riding a golf club like Happy Gilmore's grandma around the room.
Okay. Did you want to comment on any players from that game specifically, or are we just supposed to bask in your afterglow here?
Well, I'm going to go on a little mini rant. I am not a Cardinals fan in baseball because I'm a Brewers fan, and now the Rams are probably my least favorite team. They played really, really dirty. The Panthers always try to get in your heads, and the Rams succumbed to it. Brian Quick threw a punch. Chris Long got ejected. A lot of unsportsmanlike conduct. And then Sam Bradford tears his ACL. It was on a – he was like three strides from being out of bounds. He was trying to advance the ball. Some dude pushed him. It wasn't even a hard hit. Just Bradford got his legs caught under him. And then some dude named Dahl, I don't even know, I think it's Roald Dahl, who wrote the Charlie and Chocolate Factory, came running on the field and throwing stuff around, trying to be like Kyle Turley. Ah, hate the Rams. Least favorite team now.
All right, you know what's disappointing? Tavon Austin was starting to look good. Actually had that huge touchdown called back.
Yeah.
So it's too bad with Bradford tearing his ACL. I don't think any Rams receiver, I think Stacy might be the only guy worth owning on that team right now.
Yeah, well,
let's just,
I agree.
Quickly hit JB, sorry, just a couple quick points here because we do have to wrap up before we get Jay Rung on board. 49ers steamroll the Titans, what we expected. Packers, same thing to the Browns. JerMichael Finley, scary neck injury. Hope he's okay. Quickly, who do you got tonight, Giants or Vikings?
I'm going to stick with the Giants. I think they get their first win. I think they follow in the footsteps of the Suck My Nick Razzball Riders League team to avoid going winless. I think that's how it goes.
Getting off the schneid. All right, JB, thanks for joining us. We will talk to you next week, brother.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
AFC Notes.
He's so wrong that he's occasionally right. Jay Rung, welcome to the Razzball Football Podcast at Jay Rung on Twitter. I'm getting boos from Kyle, the super producer. Didn't like that intro for you. How was your weekend, Mr. Rung?
It was good. I am still basking in the glow about the fact that the Chargers may be a playoff team, even in a division with two heavy hitters. So I'm very pleased with how that's turning out.
Yes, bask away.
Yes.
No, I thought the Chargers were going to win two games.
Yeah, in the preseason, your pick of the Jets and Chargers fighting for that number one draft choice has not turned out. I don't really care about that. I actually agreed with you with the Jets, but, you know, with the Chargers, I've enjoyed what I've seen, and, you know, it's Kansas City and Denver. You know, we'll talk about them later, of course, but you know, below that, there's a whole bunch of teams stuck at 4-3 and 3-4, and that wild card spot is up for grabs, and I'm happy, of course, that the Chargers are kind of in the mix for that. So.
Hey, so just, I want to understand now, are you the host of the show now or the producer of the show, since we're going to be talking about the Broncos and the Chiefs soon?
What my statement presupposes is, why not both?
Any luck on Match.com this weekend?
No, we can move on. We can talk about football this week. I feel like, you know, my...
I'm going to get a camera and like a bus, and we're going to drive down. I'm going to fill it up with all kinds of emo girls from the greater DC area, and we'll turn it into a dating... Oh, Razzball dating show.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. You know what? Actually, I'm not even going to extrapolate on this. I'm going to hold this stuff back because I think I just came up with a $1 million idea, Jim Rong. So you're right. We should stick to football.
I mean, the thing is, though, this is not good because the Razzball community, I love them, but they're not exactly the demographic I'm looking to, you know, poke my thing in. So I'm not sure if it's the best pool to recruit from. You know, this is not... You know, I could just easily post an article, you know, of my dating profile or something. I choose not to do this because this is not the place.
Hey, let me ask you, though. If I made it down to D.C., like, would your mom have some kimchi in the fridge?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We make kimchi monthly here, you know, family tradition and all. And the thing is, I think if you were to visit here, I don't think many things would happen that involves girls. I think it would just be a lot of eating and drinking and, you know... I think that's kind of like what we do here. So, which
you know, I love you, Jay Rong, but I feel I need to like come down and like hug you. I feel like I need to rebuild you right now. I feel like you're kind of broken, and I feel that Nick should come in as like a contractor, rebuild you from the foundation up, and then unleash you on the world.
I'm enjoying my single life. I'm very happy. You know, at least I'm faking it well. So we can just build off of that.
All right. I'm kind of, Jay Rong's going to kill me. Seriously, there's going to be like a package come up with like a voodoo doll in it. I'm expecting soon.
Well, the problem is, I think.
So I'm kind of looking at you as like Andy Dalton right now.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, Andy Dalton. But then Andy Dalton can throw 3 touchdowns. You know, he's got AJ Green. And your upside is AJ Green, Jay Rong.
Right. That's exactly. Nailed it on the head, basically. I mean, he doesn't throw the prettiest passes. He doesn't scramble very well. And, you know, he normally doesn't put up these gaudy stats that, you know, you look for in the elite QBs. He's not an elite QB, but like you said, he's the AFC version of Matt Stafford, you know, and that he has his own Megatron, AJ Green. So having an elite wideout makes a huge difference. And, you know, on the other side, Giovanni Bernard seems to be emerging as, you know, a pretty capable back. So, look, he's boring, but the situation's good. The weapons are there. He limits his mistakes. Look at it this way. He's owned less than Eli Manning, which I find to be ridiculous at this point in the season. I think Eli Manning is showing the type of year that he's putting up. And, you know, with guys like maybe Cutler getting injured, you know, guys who want to stream their QBs, I think Dalton's a good matchup, at least until the cold weather hits. Because I think when the cold weather hits, you know, the AFC North teams kind of, you know, turn more to the running game. But I think for now, he can be a really stable guy for your team.
Plus, you just kind of want to root for the Gingers, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know I hit on the Browns a lot too, but I like to see them succeed for once. But yeah, the Cincinnati Bengals, I like the fact that they're kind of leading that division right now. I like the fact that the Ravens and Steelers aren't the powerhouses they once were. It's nice to see a, you know, fresh face.
AJ Green needs a nickname. Like, it should be like, you know, Calvin is Megatron. It should be like Gumbytron. He kind of looks like Gumby. And his last name's Green.
Yeah, I could go with that. You should email them. See what happens.
Gumbytron. Okay, so here's a scenario, Jay Rong, which would never happen. But if you could get a steel cage together and put Chris Ivory in one corner and Le'Veon Bell in the other, who comes out the winner and you're starting running back between those two?
Boy, you know, that's a tough one. I mean, both are similar guys. You know, they're both kind of young. Le'Veon Bell, of course, a little bit younger. They're used mainly for that ground and pound attack with their slash ability. You know, I think it comes down to supporting cast. You know, with the Jets, Geno Smith can still be kind of erratic. We saw some good and some bad in yesterday's game. But I think Bilal Powell kind of muddies the waters. He didn't do much, obviously, yesterday, but as you know, the season moves forward, I think he splits the carries a little bit more with Ivory. And I think they mainly used him a lot yesterday because he was effective in the first matchup against the Patriots, so that could have also been a factor. So I like Bell. I like the fact that his average, his yards per carry, is 4.0. That's pretty nice. And the fact is the platoon there, the Felix Jones and Dwyer factor, they don't really do much. I don't think they're going to threaten any playing time from him. So I like Bell a little bit more for those reasons.
Okay, now I don't want to get you giggling here, getting all excited. But Ryan Matthews, 2 100-yard rushing games in a row. I mean, that must tickle you in all kinds of places, J-Ron.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you remember, but, you know, early in the year, I was kind of disappointed in the production he was putting up. You know, I saw him more as a 10-carry, 60-yard guy who was kind of just, you know, not really doing much for your flex. But, you know, at this point of the season, teams start gaining personalities. You know, you kind of see what they are. And what the Chargers are right now, their profile looks a lot different than it was, you know, maybe a month ago. As we saw in the Indy game, maybe as we saw in the Jacksonville game and a little bit in the Oakland game, they're really dedicating themselves to a run-heavy game plan to control the clock. And they obviously can do shootouts. I mean, Rivers has already had 3 400-yard games. But as the season goes on, we're seeing a 50-50 split on the pass run. And Matthews, now he's still getting the same amount of touches, you know, with Woodhead, getting those third down touches and, you know, the big passes in the red zones. But he's getting more yardage out of his touches, and I think I've been noticing that when they run Matthews, they're running it up the gut or on the side, on the right side of that line, and I think a big part of that is the emergence of DJ Fluker, you know, the big offensive lineman they drafted in the first round. I mean, that guy is huge, and he just pushes everyone out of the way. So, anyhow, long story short, I think this continues to happen because, I mean, who doesn't love a running game? It sets up everything, and I think as the Chargers play better teams, they're really going to try to establish that run with Matthews. So we could be seeing a stable guy. I mean, I think we could be seeing the same 20, 25 carries. I mean, he won't get many passes for PPR leagues, but 100-yard rushing games, I could see that becoming normal if this continues.
San Diego Superchargers. All right. One of the most interesting storylines, and I save the best for almost last, Jay, is Gronk. Gronkowski came back, looked pretty good for a guy who hasn't played in as long as he has. Looked interesting. Could have actually probably had a couple of touchdowns if some things broke right. What did you think of Gronk's return for the Patriots yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, the game was a wild one. I mean, the division games can certainly be interesting. This one was all over the place. And, of course, the Jets pulled it off with the help of a questionable call. But, you know, it's not like the Patriots have never been helped by any calls. So, fantasy-wise, look, I think this is like maybe the fourth podcast in a row we've talked about the Patriots, but it's because, you know, they're really a target for fantasy owners when it comes to players, including Tom Brady, and Gronk is a huge one. You know, everyone kind of looks frustrating. Gronk had some nice, gave us some hope yesterday, but, you know, for the whole year, all the principals have been just up and down. You know, even Stephen Ridley has had his own issues, but I think we need to give him a little bit more time just to see what Gronk can do with that offense. I mean, he's obviously a guy who can change the whole dynamic there and can maybe help Brady kind of snap out of his own funk. So, I mean, while we're deep enough to get into the season, while, you know, to be concerned, Gronk returning obviously is a good thing. So I think we still have to be in a holding pattern and see how he affects that offense.
Let me ask you this. You've got one game. Okay, you're an NFL head coach. You get to pick one receiver. Probably number one is going to be Calvin Johnson. But after Calvin Johnson, wouldn't a healthy Gronkowski maybe be the second pass catcher you could have on any team?
It could be. I mean, it depends on the matchups. I mean, when you compare wideouts to tight ends, you still got Dez Bryant and Julio Jones to worry about. But, you know, strictly a tight end, Gronk is probably one of the biggest playmakers, at least the way the New England Patriots use him. You know, I mean, he's got the speed, he's got the vertical leap, he's got everything you want. I mean, he's basically a young Antonio Gates. you know. So when you speak of tight ends, there's really no one else that you'd like to have. So.
But I'm just talking pass catchers. Kyle Super Producer, he's top five, right? At least. Gronk, you got one game, Kyle Super Producer. One game, you can pick one pass catcher. Probably Calvin, Dez, Jimmy Graham. You know, Julio's injured. Gronk. I mean, that's the conversation, right? Okay, Kyle Super Producer's in on this. Jay Rung, what's wrong with you?
Knowing him, he's going to pick Deshaun Jackson.
JB had one note from the Eagles game. Tell Kyle the Eagles suck. Actually, sorry. tell Kyle that Eagles are terrible. I got to work on my North Carolina accent.
Oh, I thought that was your JB accent. Made him sound like he was a
professional. It was. Good. I'm glad you got it.
Yeah.
Little bit Oklahoma, little bit North Carolina.
It sounded a little bit special.
It's a Tar Heel Okie. All right. A couple more quick hits here, Mr. Wrong. You like Mike Brown and Jeremy Curley going forward, or are they viable? Well, let me ask you, are they viable fantasy pickups? Because Sky's not here for the waiver wire this week. Apparently, he got arrested again. Allegedly. So Mike Brown, Curley, give me some quick hits.
Yeah, I don't, with Mike Brown, I don't mean to step into JB's yard here with the NFC guy, but I did get to see him against the Chargers. I like him. I mean, Cecil Short's got an impact with, even though he had a shoulder injury, but you know, I like his speed and size. I like the three wide receiver sets the Giants were using with Mike Brown, and he might be a target moving forward. I would kind of keep a lookout for him. With Curley, Geno Smith and him seem to have developed something yesterday. I mean, he was targeted 10 times and had 97 yards. With Santonio Holmes and Kellen Winslow out, this might continue. Now, Cincinnati is coming up in the schedule next game, I believe, and I would kind of be in a holding pattern because that's a much better defense and just to see how they utilize their receivers. But if you're desperate in deep leagues or you need maybe, a flex play or something, I would look into it. I mean, if Geno Smith's, a young quarterback, if he gains a relationship with a guy like this, you know, you can see him being targeted the same amount of times and maybe something could happen with that.
All right, Manning goes back to Indy, the big Sunday night game. Give me some quick thoughts from that game.
Yeah, I had no idea what game I was watching because I guess, you know, ESPN and NFL Network did such a great job downplaying that matchup. They were probably talking about hockey way too much, maybe. So, but, you know, I have the joy of covering the Sunday night football games for Razzball, so, you know, I usually like to talk about these games, and it didn't live up to the hype for a while, but you know, kind of sneakily turned into a football game, you know, so gradually. And the Indy crowd was really excited with Peyton coming back. I mean, honestly, you think it was half price at the Golden Corral. But, you know, there are some important takeaways from the game. One of them is Andrew Luck now has more TD runs than RG3, which I found very interesting. He's one behind Cam Newton now, which is strange, you know, because when he was drafted, that wasn't really part of his game. I mean, he could scramble, but you'd expect RG3 to, you know, be dominating in that stat category. The Colts showed a weakness with Manning, and that's Denver's offensive line and secondary, which, you know, fantasy-wise, it could affect a matchup against Kansas City, which is coming up, I think, twice.
Yeah, they're hurting with Claydio.
Yeah, I mean, they really... Peyton looked flustered. My favorite Manning face, it actually turned into Manning sulk for most of the game. And, you know, KC, they play him two times in 3 weeks, which is kind of like a scheduling weirdness thing. But, you know, that could be a concern in those matchups. I'd keep an eye on it. Obviously, you're not going to sit Manning, but, you know, if you want to be kind of worried, maybe, I don't know. Another one, you know, not to pat myself on the back, was Richardson. Certainly keeps on living up to his first-round pick. I think I saw him do an 8-yard run, which I'm guessing is the longest run of the year for him. He had a fumble. I mean, he looks lost right now. I don't know what to say. I think when we were talking about him, you know, nearly a month ago, that might have been the time to sell. You know, when people would think maybe he'd snap out of it, but he just
and I did in my dynasty league, Trent Richardson and Cameron for Calvin Johnson. Thank you, Mitch. All right, Jay, we got to wrap this up. Quick question. We have to wrap up because Kyle has to work on some more kids hockey intros. So real quick, one word answer, Giants or Vikings tonight?
Does anyone care? I mean, like a falling tree.
Okay, see, that's not one word. Worst game ever. Jay, get out of here, because now it's time for your Aurora Tigers.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's the Rise Ball Podcast. Jimmy Fantasy House.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour bus. Make you spit all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's the Rise Ball Podcast. It's the Rise Ball Podcast. It's the Rise Ball Podcast. It's the Rise Ball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.